glory to the King. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory and honor. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. There's a few of us tonight, but that's all he needs. Give him praise with me tonight. Father, we bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, O God. We bless you, O Lord. Bless you, O God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor, Lord. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy, Jesus. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy. We give you praise, O God. Praise, O God. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, O God. Worship you, worship you. Worship you, worship you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, O God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Somebody, I'm kidding. Father, we bless you. Holy Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. You alone, Father, are holy and undefiled. Jesus, we thank you. We are indeed joint heirs with you, O God. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. Sons and daughters and inheritors of the kingdom of God. So Father, we bless you this evening. We bless you this evening, Father. And we give you praise, glory, complete honor, Jesus. For you alone are holy, Jesus. You alone are worthy. And we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord. Spirit, sir. God Almighty, that you abide in us, exhorting us, edifying us, building us up, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word that ministers to our soul, transforms our mind into the mind of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are very well equipped to complete our number one calling in you, Lord, and that is to walk in love, Lord. We can never forget that first and foremost, Lord, above anything else on the face of this world, you have called me and my brothers and sisters to walk in love. You said it yourself, Jesus, that by this all men will know that we belong to you by the love that we walk in. So we give you praise, glory, and honor this evening, Father. In the precious, precious, holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. And our saints of God said, amen and hallelujah. Yes. Blessed be the Lord. I was just thinking, I've been... just continue to pray for me, please. The schedule that I have is unheard of. Going and coming, 14 or 15 hour work days. Called my boss last week as I was on my way home from Orlando. I said, I quit. I said, you know what? You know, he told me flat out. He said, quit talking stupid. You know, is what he told me. I said, boss, I sell propane for a living. My strength is dealing with people, retaining customers. I'm not called to be behind a desk, behind a computer all day long. I just can't handle this. You know, missing church all the time for the last couple of months because of work. That doesn't make me too happy. And, you know, by the time we ended up talking, I talked to him probably from Orlando all the way back to Immokalee on the phone. And he said, no, homie, you stay where you're at. But just wait this out. It'll slow down. So, obviously, I listened to him. You know what? Through all this, you know, battling an infirmity. First of all, we know there's no infirmities in the kingdom of God. We know that. So the infirmity that I'm battling, I shouldn't be battling because there are no infirmities in God's kingdom. But nonetheless, you know, the prince of this world, his name is Satan. Battling that, long hours in a fig tree that doesn't want to bear fruit. A lot of things can weigh on you, if you know what I mean about the fig tree that isn't bearing fruit. Because I have a child that, you know, just wants to indulge in the world. But it's okay though, because we understand that parable. And that fig tree, the vine dressers will stand between hell and the destruction of that fig tree. As long as I choose to fertilize it, as long as I choose to water that fig tree, it will bear fruit. But it weighs on you. You know, it weighs on you. It shouldn't weigh on you. You know, between that and an infirmity and then your job, you can do one or two things. You can fold. You can just keep on chucking into Jesus. That'll make you a tougher individual. So what I'm going through is tough right now. And I wasn't going to preach tonight. I got in a little late. I called Rex. I said, Rex, are you ready to minister? But then I said to myself, no, I'm not going to let my soul take me out of this. My soul is not my dictator. And you got to minister and talk to your soul sometimes, man. You got to tell your soul who's in charge. Regardless of how tired you feel or how beat you feel. You know, never said it's going to be easy. Just worth it. So here I am tonight and I feel real good now. I feel the anointing on me. I feel we're going to have a good time. You know why? Because Jesus needs champions. You know, going out and about in business in the last month or so, the body of Christ is beat up, man. In general. There are very few champions out there for Jesus. You know, the Simon Peters and the Bartholomews and the Andrews that would dare be crucified upside down for the sake of one man named Jesus Christ. Those champions are few. I don't know many. Quite the contrary. The Christian faith is taking a beating. It's taking a beating. We just got to get tough sometimes. We just got to get tough. You just got to tell your soul, come on. You're not my daddy. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I will, because I believe in being honest. You know, you get so tired, you don't have a chance to open up your Bible when you get home. So what? I just lay in bed and I minister to my soul. I just stay there in bed, just confessing God's word over myself. God's word is powerful, man. And it can motivate the soul after a while. It's one thing we did inherit from the Old Testament, and that was the flesh. Proverbs calls it the immoral woman that we did inherit from the shadow. And we'll have that immoral woman, that flesh, to the day that we pass to the other side. So I am feeling a little bit of relief in the spirit about what I've been going through with my job and all that. It's believe I'm a third of the way there. But now I'm going to keep on and I'm going to keep confessing. You know, because there are no negative confessions in God's kingdom. Not one. Jesus broke the loaves and the fish. The disciples saw 5 and 2. Jesus saw abundance. When David slew Goliath, the 20,000 soldiers from the armies of God saw a giant. And David saw a giant, but he didn't see a giant. You know what I mean? They saw a man 9 foot tall. They saw a man that came 40 times to 80 times in 40 days to revile the armies of the living God. David saw the same giant, but he didn't see that giant. Simon Peter saw his mother-in-law struggling in bed with the fever. Jesus didn't. There's a place that we have to find in Christ, where we operate out of what 1 John calls the unction. I gotta find that place like I never had before. 1 Peter calls it the incorruptible seed. James calls it the engrafted word. That is our central command station, is our born again spirit. You know, Psalms 119 says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I was off a little bit on that teaching. That's the shadow. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He was making reference to the Torah, the first 5 books. You know what? When we're born again and Christ lives in us, what we have to overcome sin is inside of us already. So your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I could not read that word for 2 years and be born again and still have the power to say no to sin. Why? Because I've been born again. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let my words, keep my words in your heart. I preach that off a little bit. I preach you got to put God's word in you to be able to trust in God. Well, that's the shadow, Proverbs 3. The day I got born again, I was able to trust God with all my heart. Because I became a son of God in truth. When I confessed Jesus Christ, His commandments came and lived inside of me. My DNA changed. And I was able to say no to every damnable thing this world had to offer me. So your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119. That's been fulfilled at the cross when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal redeemer. Now we live out of something so powerful. And it is called a born again spirit. What an awesome revelation that Pastor Dave received when he got that revelation about the born again spirit. Because the days of excuses have absolutely ceased. Hallelujah. 2 John says, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in what? Love. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Notice what he said, in truth and in love. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. He made reference to people in the next verse. I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. But wait a minute. Our prototype, which is Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. In the very next verse, John writes to the lady, the elder of a small church, said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we here receive the commandment from the Father. This is His commandment, that we walk in love. He said, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. He said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. But when He talked about the church. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. He said, he didn't say, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth and in love. But he said that about Jesus. But about us, the body of Christ, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And this is his commandment, that we walk in love. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Now the funny thing about it is, my friends, is that the same way that Jesus is the Son of God in truth and in love, me and you together are to be sons of God in truth and in love. What was the difference? Well, 1 John says, love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, the Greek actually says, is not working in you. I was talking to two or three weeks ago, Delia and Reuben and Corey were at the house, and we were talking about discipleship, and Corey stirred something up in me a little bit, because I said, I don't know about giving the kids 1 John to read anymore, because it's hard. And 1 John is a very hard book, because you gotta comprehend, you gotta understand what he's talking to a believer and what he's talking to a non-believer. But I already figured that out already. And I said to myself, I don't know, Corey, man, that's a hard book. But you know what? He was right. The foundation of Christianity is love. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were parables written to unregenerate people. 1 John was written to people that were born again. I mean, you can't go wrong with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For God's sake, we can't. All the power and the miracles of Jesus Christ are recorded in those five books. But 1 John is so vital. It is so vital. But I tell you one thing, if you're going to preach it, you better have it. You better have gone over it, because it's a hard book to preach. Because you start talking about walking in hate, you think about a believer that's not born again. I mean, how can a believer that's born again walk in hate? But it really, in all essence, the only time he talks about an unbeliever is when he mentions the Antichrist. He said, when he says that the person that does not love is a murderer, that's the only time he talks to an unbeliever in the book of 1 John. The other times he's talking to believers. When he said, beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He's talking to a believer, because he would never tell an unbeliever to love somebody, because they don't have the what? They don't have the capacity to love. So if there's one thing that he's called me and you to do more than anything, it's to love. And see, we have a misconception of what love is. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a hug. Love is living out of that born-again spirit. Our whole walk, our life, our operating our business, all of it should be out of that born-again spirit. When we minister to somebody, it ought to be out of that unction. Unfortunately, it isn't. Much of our ministry, much of our evangelizing, much of our business is intellect. So much intellect involved even when we minister. Imagine if we lived out of that born-again spirit. Imagine we wouldn't be, Lord, and I don't mean, and this is not every application. Imagine if our whole life, if we cut out our intellect completely and we just heard and did, according to James, all the instruction that came out of that born-again spirit, none of us would be broken poor. None of us would be sick, present company included. We would know who to do business with. We wouldn't have to write off a $12,000 debt at the end of the year if we lived according to that unction. Inside that unction, the commandment inside that unction that I receive by being a son of God in truth is holy, it's undefiled, it's pure than the purest of gold. But yet the church is beat up. We say, yeah, Satan came along and he tried to kill me. Well, wait a minute. He doesn't have access. He doesn't have the right to kill me and you. What investment does he have in us to try to kill us? According to the Bible that I read, I never heard of Jesus almost dying of an infirmity. I never heard of Jesus being blind in his right eye. I never heard of that before. So obviously, there's an investment that Satan has in the body of Christ. Not always. Now there are the sufferings of Christ according to 1 Peter. That there is. But if we lived according to the unction, according to the born-again spirit, my God, we would be living testimonies for Jesus Christ. Champions, the true champions, live out of that born-again spirit. There's a reason that John said in 1 John, my brethren, do not love in what? In word or in tongue. But what? But in deed and in truth. He said, dearly beloved, don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 2 John, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. He said, don't love in word or in tongue. What do you mean, Jesus? But love in deed and in truth. You know what he was saying there? That deed and truth is living inside that born-again spirit. Every bit of instruction that comes out of our spirit is holy. And it's undefiled. If we learned as a body, even 50% of the time to live out of that unction, that born-again spirit, my God, the world would know that we belong to Him. There would be such a separation between us and Satan's kingdom that, my God, they would say, my God, Gay, she's peculiar. Look at Otto, look at Ruben. They're different. And we have to be different, and we will be different if we live out of that born again spirit. We're called to live out of that born again spirit, and nowhere else we're not called to live by logic, by good ideas. You can quote the Bible and still be off in areas in your life. But if that Bible verse comes out of that born again spirit, my friend, you're going to have a positive result every single time. See, my friend, do not live in word. Do not live according to word and tongue, but live according to deed and in truth. Live out of that unction. Psalms 119, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've used it. I got to get God's word in me to sin, so I won't sin. No, my friends, if you're born again, God's word abides in you. His commandments abide in you, and they come out of your spirit, giving me, you, in direction, how, what to do and what not to do. We would ever grasp it. Jason, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He would just hesitate to respond to people. Okay, Father, there's your wisdom. The results in our life would just be, I don't know what word to use. I'm not very smart. What word am I looking for? The results of our life would be, somebody, come on. Phenomenal. That, thank you, Melody. She's a teacher. Who? Well, she's kin to a teacher. Watch it, Gay. Well, I mean, Gay, watch it, Marcia. But think about it. Now, think about it. Jesus said, but not bad for a man that wasn't prepared. It's coming out of me. It's spitting out. It's coming out. Jesus in his humanity as a man lived out of the very thing he wants me and you to live out of. And that is a born again spirit. He wasn't moved by logic. He wasn't moved by what he knew. He was moved by what the Father instructed him from heaven to his spirit and then out of his spirit. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Me as a businessman and Reuben as a businessman and Rex as a businessman and Marty, if we all together as businessmen, and some of you might more than me, I'm just calling, I always call names out. You know the way I preach. Imagine if we worked, heard and obeyed that born-again spirit, we'd have this mortgage paid off. There wouldn't be any lack in the body of Christ. Imagine if me as a preacher would listen to the instruction of the born-again spirit every single day of my life. I wouldn't be struggling with an infirmity that does not exist in God's kingdom. Our operation is completely, positively, 100-bit internal. The instruction that comes out of our spirit is incorruptible. It's holy. It's undefiled. That's why Jesus was a son of the Father in truth and in love. But John said, regarding the body, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. He didn't say the children were walking in truth and love. In fact, he said, now that the body, now that this small church in 2 John, now that they've received you, Jesus, they are sons of God in truth. But there's another commandment inside that truth. And inside that truth, cried something out of their spirit that they were called to love like Jesus loved. Only love is not an emotion. Love is obedience and nothing more to that born-again spirit. As we said, love not the world or the things in the world. And guess who didn't love the world or the things in the world? Jesus. That's why he was the Son of the Father in truth and in love. He's called me and you to operate out of that same operation. We're blessed because our victory is internal. He said, dearly beloved, let us not love in word or in tongue. He said, but in deed and in truth. But in deed and in truth. In other words, he was saying, 1 John wrote, live out of that born again spirit. That's what separates us from the world. It's our kingdom, our victory is internal. Imagine if we heard God's instruction all the time in our marriages. Would there ever be any divorce in the body of Christ? That's a hard one there. It's a hard one to swallow. Imagine if we heard God's wisdom regarding our future spouse. If we heard God's wisdom, like Melody, she's a single young lady, and I respect her a lot for what she stands for. And she obviously isn't going to settle for anybody unless she feels God puts that young man in her life. Right or wrong? So then, if you wait, as you are waiting, and you hear the instruction of God, Melody, this is the king, the prince that you've been waiting for. If she waits according to that instruction and she hears God properly, that marriage will be sanctified and will last to her last days on the face of this earth. We could just learn. Sometimes we outthink the Holy Spirit. Today, on my last session today, it's been a brutal 2 weeks training. Oh my God, brutal. They make us do an assessment at the end of every single day. I was in there for like 9 hours. She said, now for your assessment. But in the middle of assessment, they ask you 2 questions and you got to go. It's called an SAP train. It's a SAP software. It's supposed to be the elite, the U.S. Army, the Navy, they use it. And I got to learn it in 3 weeks. So they ask you, they train you all day long. You do exercise on the computer and then they give you an assessment. The first one I answered, I went through the system. I looked like a computer nerd, and I figured it out. But I did the easy one first, and the last one for last, or so I thought. And he was asking me questions about factoring in all kind of things that I didn't even know what they meant, to be honest with you. And then the whole class was shocked, and they were like this, looking at the paper. And then the instructor says, she said, don't overthink yourselves, people. Talking about. Don't overthink. And then one guy said, I know what she means. And I was there for 30 minutes looking at the manual. Is that thick. And I got to go through 3 manuals. I started the second manual today. It is that thick. I kid you not. She asked us 2 questions on test 1 on the assessment. And we were there. I had my calculator out doing this and that, and I couldn't figure it out. And I threw my glasses down, and then I went and drank another Diet Pepsi, and then I got another donut and thinking and looking. And don't overthink yourselves. Got up and pacing. Everybody was pacing. And then one guy said, I know what she means. And he went back to the notes that we had gone through in the first part of the day. And she had already given us the answers on page 8-19, there was a 4.05 and a 4.02. That was an answer. There was 2 answers to the 2 questions that she was asking us, but she'd already given us the answer before. We were out thinking ourselves. Instead of sitting back, relaxing, taking a deep breath, I acted out of ignorance. It's the same way in God's kingdom. We make things so complicated when there's a holy, righteous instruction right there inside of our spirit, man. That's why there's failure. That's why there's failure in the body of Christ. God needs a champion or champions that operate out of that born-again spirit. It's incredible how an unbeliever can give somebody more love than a Christian. So I said, he needs champions, man. He needs champions. I've often asked myself, as many of you have, but maybe you might not admit it and you don't have to say it. You wonder to yourself, which camp is right? Does IHOP got it going on? Does the faith movement, does that camp got it going on? What about the camp in Brownsville that had the revival? What about Kansas City, Missouri or Alabama? What about Dave Roberson's camp? Who's got it right? Who's got the power? I'll tell you who's got it right. And I believe in what we're taught. 110%. But I tell you who has it right. The camp that walks in love. That's the camp that has it right. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that we belong to Him. If we have love one to another. He said in 1 John, John wrote, Beloved, us, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, talking to a believer, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. That word knoweth is a two-part word. And it means to know Him in a beginning sense and an ending sense. That's why He said Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in truth and in love. Jesus knew Him in the beginning sense and in the ending sense. How do you know? Because He said He was the Son of God in truth and in love. We're called to be more than just sons of God. In truth, those that have a born-again spirit. Out of that born-again spirit, out of the instruction that lives in that born-again spirit, is love. We're called to be sons of God in truth and in love, not just in truth. Unfortunately, 90% of the body lives their life in God, just knowing Him in truth. We confess you as Redeemer. There's a born-again spirit planted inside of them. So I guess, so I assume. But the rest of their life, they live not loving God. What, I heard somebody say, oh, that person fell off. That person fell off the wagon. They're not, but they love God with all their heart. No, they don't. That is wrong. Well, that person left. He left his wife for another woman, but he loves God with all his heart. No, my friend, loving God is obeying God. If God is love, and I'm not born again, and God is out here, I get born again, and God is love, and God comes and lives inside of me, then love came to live inside of me. And if love comes to live inside of me, then out of my spirit is going to be what? Love. Every bit of instruction that comes out of my spirit from God is love. But loving God is obeying God. Love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, it seems to say, he's talking to a person that's not born again. He said, if any man love not the world or the things in the world, if any man love not the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But the Greek says, the love of the Father is not working in him. Loving God, God, if we can grasp it, if we can grasp it, is obeying that inner witness. That is loving God. Loving Him out of that instruction that comes out of our spirit. And we got to be real careful, because we can be quicker than that instruction. We can override it real quick. That's why when there's turmoil or there's accusations or there's pressure or responses made to you, it's very vital for me and you as a body to take a deep breath and to wait on that instruction. And if we wait on that instruction, the instruction that's holy and undefiled, my God, there will always be an awesome result in our life. Always. You know why? Because you obey something that's holy and it's undefiled. And that is the word, the commandment, the love of the Almighty God. That's why there's no separation between church and world, corporately, worldwide. God needs His champions. Our life, living our life, should all be out of that place of abundance, out of that born-again spirit. Our business decisions should be based on His commandments. Well, this person owes me this and that. Did you take that deep breath and say, Lord, can I do business with this person? Or did you just see dollar signs and think, I have an opportunity here to make money? Lo and behold, Lucifer was driving that person. But then we call it sometimes suffering. No, sometimes it's just flat out ignorance. You don't think God wants to take care of His children through instruction? You hear of Christians moving here and there, and they started here, and they started here, and then God's called me over here. Wait a minute, you never did nothing here for them. What, are you going to go drive 200 miles somewhere else? Well, you never started, you never finished what you started here. God, He wants to talk to His children, and He does talk to His children so much. But I'm going to quote what Dave said several years ago. It's not God's fault that there's not enough peace in our life to hear what's right. It's not God's fault. Every time my little boy David crosses the street, I'm there as his dad. David, look to the left, look to the right, son, watch out for cars. When my kids are out, in the movies, I'm calling and saying, be careful. Don't put that 105.5 on. You better watch what you hear. I'm their dad, I'm coaching them. It's up to them to hear me. It's not God's fault that we make mistakes in our life and then we call it the sufferings of Christ. We don't know what the sufferings of Christ are here in the United States. We don't know what they are. Jesus does. Peter knows what the sufferings of Christ was. Andrew knew what they were. We're spoiled, man. We can go and come as we will. All that Satan's putting pressure on me. Come on, man. We just annulled, disannulled perfect instruction. It was there. He told me which way to turn, Rex. He told me to go left or right or go straight. He told me somewhere in that conversation what to say and what not to say. He told me to have the conversation or not to have it. It's just got to be enough peace in my life to hear that holy, holy, perfect instruction. Here these two young men, Alex and Renee. God, Alex was at a very prestigious college in where? Maine or? Amen or Maine? What'd you say? Maine. Oh, no, my bad. Renee, he's always wanted to go to college. And I tell him, I said, when people ask you why you're here, they're not going to comprehend your response. They're not going to comprehend that you're here to bring in a revival. I said, I'd just be quiet if I was you. Because they're going to think you're stupid. Sometimes Jesus talk is crazy talk, man. Jesus believing is crazy believing. Oh, come on now. How are we going to raise the dead, man? Jesus talk is crazy talk. How are we going to extend the arm of that young lady that has no arm? Jesus talk is crazy talk. How are we going to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? I tell you how. When we get a revelation of God's kingdom, it will be easy. How are we gonna walk on water? How are we gonna walk on water during a tempest or a hurricane? Let me tell you something, there are no tempests or hurricanes in the kingdom of God. There are none. There is no hunger in God's kingdom. There is no sickness in God's kingdom. That's why Jesus Christ healed every single body He laid His hands on, because He had a revelation of the kingdom of God as a joint heir. With me, together. If we could ever grasp the kingdom of God, if we could ever grasp love, we would have the same result in our life with this one man called Jesus Christ. If we learn how to live out of that born-again spirit. If we learn how to run our businesses out of that born-again spirit. If we learn how to evangelize out of that born-again spirit. I've heard some scary things out there, man. For people that mean well. Scary things. Ministering out of here. telling somebody about Jesus is simple. Let me tell you about this one man, Jesus Christ, that I know. And you know what trumps that? When you tell somebody about Jesus with an anointing in your life. With an anointing in your life. Not with a dogmatic, I'm going to thrust Jesus down your throat mentality. Listen, not everybody wants to hear it. There's a reason Jesus went to this district and this and all that district and this region to that region. Because not everybody wants to hear it. But if we learn to live out of that born-again spirit, we will have perfect results in our life. Are we successful with Jesus? I don't know. Judge your fruit. Judge your fruit. Judge those that you minister to. Are they here? Are they growing? Judge the fruit. I'm pastor's fruit. I'm his fruit. And I very seldom ever heard him ministering to me in my darkest time when I'm hurting out of what he knows, but always with the sensitivity that comes out of that born-again spirit. In these closing words, we forget sometimes how to win one back to Jesus. Just real quick in these closing words, together as a family, how do we... We've tried many things. How does the Bible say to win one back to Jesus that has gone astray? Anybody, give it a shot. Love? Okay, you can't go wrong with love. But what does James say in the last couple of verses? Let me read it to you real quick. And I'm done. I mean it for real. Now, granted, I know we have to do follow-up. My God, I know that. You know, call a brother and tell him that you love him. You know, you can't ask him 10 questions of where he's been. You know, you can't be dogmatic. You got to be sensitive. But James tells us exactly how to win one back that's going astray. Listen to what James said. In 5:19, brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he, what? Prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain and on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. In context of that teaching, the fruit that the earth produced was people that gave their hearts back to the Almighty God. Through what? Through earnest prayer. Did he say with a dogmatic speech? Or did he say with earnest prayer? Okay, well, I'm just using her as an example. She's not doing too good. Can't come to church in 6 months. Or she's at the casino drinking all drunk. Where you been? What's going on in your life? You can't hide from Jesus. You can live stupid if you want to, but you can't hide from Jesus. Don't you know what the book of Galatians says or the book of John? Don't you know what the book, don't you know what Ephesians says or Romans? The wages of sin is death, stupid. You need to live like me and walk in love. You don't have a clue of what love is. You'll get that. You'll get it. We'll quote the Bible. And we'll quote it word for word. Only one problem. It's out of God's timing. What about... Oh God, Aurelia. How you doing? Where's my Altoids? No. Y'all's getting... Hey, oh, wow, man, it's nice seeing you. You look good. You look good. Hey, I just want you to know that I love you. I love you so much, and hey, why don't you come break bread with me and my wife? I love you with all my heart, and thank God for this opportunity that I get to see you. Can I pray with you real quick? Father, in Jesus' name, you pray for him, and you go home, and you get up in the morning, and you remember what Aliyah, that Jane said, it's by earnest prayer that she'll come back to God. It's by earnest prayer that she will repent and come back to the living God. Not only earnest prayer, it said earlier, the effectual, fervent prayer. This is the part that we live out though. The effectual, fervent prayer of what? Yes. Now you can pray fervently. You can be the effectual, fervent prayer. But if you leave out the righteous, it's just that. It's repetition, man. I want a person praying for me that's living right. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, righteous man or woman, it availeth much, and she will be restored. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, not a one that's a bittersweet well, chapter 3, not one that's partial, chapter 2 of James, not one that's double-minded, chapter 1 of James, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm going to pray earnestly for you, and you will be restored. It doesn't take dogmatic, idiotic statements that we're used to giving. God, if we can grab, there are no idiotic statements in God's kingdom. There are no dogmatic, idiotic statements in the born-again spirit. They don't exist there. But they do live here. They do live here. I'm born again and saved because of a Baptist man named Bill Bethay. Does anybody know him? Bill Bethay, good man. I would be at the gas station in the morning, my dad on, drunk, smoking so much crack cocaine and smoking so, not dope, I never smoked dope, but I snorted cocaine, always strung out for 2 days, just there at the gas pump, pumping him gas like that. And I knew he was a Christian, but not one time did he give me an idiotic, dogmatic statement about the Bible. He would put his hands around me. He said, I'm praying for you, boy. He said, I'm praying for you. And the day I got born again, I went and found him. I said, Mr. Bill, I gave my life to Jesus. I think his prayer had something to do with it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are no idiotic, dogmatic statements that live inside of God's kingdom. They don't exist inside the unction. They don't exist inside the born-again spirit. And my friends, I've made those idiotic, dogmatic statements. I've done them a million times. That's why I'm mad at myself. People that we've heard along the way. Imagine if we, not you, because none of you have ever made that mistake before. Imagine if me, myself, if I had never made those idiotic, dogmatic statements and I lived my whole life out of that born-again spirit. Just by my righteous living, this church would be full. I'm not boasting about myself. I'm just saying the mistakes that I've made. So can you imagine there's 20 people in here. Imagine if all of us would have ministered according to the unction. We would have a 5,000 member church right now. That is not love. Word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love, said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. This is a commandment, he said, that we walk in love. Well, what's love? He said, and this is love. Family praise, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. What commandments? The commandments that live inside of me and you. The very thing that tells me to do right is his commandment. The very thing that tells me not to do wrong is his commandment. That's how people know. That's how we know that we love him. A person that lives out of that born again spirit knows him in a completed sense. Knowing him in a beginning sense is confessing him as Redeemer. Knowing him in truth. You know that you know him when your lifestyle, when you habitually obey that born-again spirit. That's what separates us from every other religion on the face of this earth, is we have an internal kingdom. Internal instruction. And I thank God so much today. And I can't think, I read 1 John a whole bunch. But I thank God today that I heard Dave's teaching about the born-again spirit. If we can grasp it. One thing that I've concluded in this Christian walk, and I might not conclude it or believe it at the time, but if you make me mad, Mrs. Gay, or Renee makes me mad, I'll be mad at you for 5 minutes and not come to the conclusion, I shouldn't have gotten mad. I've been born again. The days of excuses have ceased. But I've come with that conclusion that it's never anybody's fault. If anybody had room for an offense, it was the man named Jesus Christ. Love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not working in him. And that's one thing we need working in us. That is the love of the Father. That it's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If we habitually live in every aspect of our life, in our ministry, in our day-to-day walk with Christ, in our business, my God, people will know that we are the city that's set on the hill without even saying much. Now, are you against evangelizing? Heck no, I'm not stupid. I'd never say that. I do tell you this, that at this meeting that I go, I'll wait for that opportunity. You know, I see, hey, you want me to tell you about Jesus? No. I'll go up to him real smooth. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. Just get ready for this SAP class. Yeah, you look kind of tired. I mean, do you find the class easy, Homer? Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'm not a computer guy, but, you know, I'm doing it. I got to feed my family. I got to learn the system. Hey, well, that's good. Yeah, because I got to work, too. I live week by week, that lady told me. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but hey, it doesn't matter. I'll learn the system. I want to work. I got to feed my kids, but my God will provide. I just throw it in there. Oh, yeah, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. You go to church? No, I've been wanting to go. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. See, I just creeped in the door a little bit. Now, if they would have said, yeah, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you know what? I can't continue. I can't continue no more. It's over. But they can't stop me from praying for them, though. They can't. Hey, you might whoop me and tell me, but you can't stop me from praying for you. I heard a man say one time many years ago, he can kill me, but he can't eat me. So I eased myself in the door gate. Okay, they gave me an open door. They gave me a yes. That's all Jesus needs. You can't minister to a rebellious soul. Unless you walk in a yoke-breaking anointing, you can lay your hands on him and it'd be gone. I don't walk in that yet. But I walk in enough sensitivity to know who wants to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I've made my errors. But if we can learn, my God, if we can learn how to live out of his righteous instruction. If I can learn how to live out of that righteous instruction. The world, we know that we belong to him. It will know that we belong to him. That is not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most awesome statements, I don't know if there's such a word as awesomest. No. Yes, there is in the mockery. There is that Mexican style. That's the way we roll. That's the way awesomest. The most awesomest feeling. Awesome. See, now you got me all messed up. It's to know that all our instruction comes from within. It's the awesomest feeling. Really, some of you might not like hearing that. I know I didn't. But the more and more I read 1 John, the more and more I'm convinced that our lifestyle is from within. That our lifestyle, our living is all internal. No trouble. The awesomest words I've ever heard was, I have been born again. If I was born again, that means I was born again, again. My first birth came from my mother's womb. My second birth came at the expense of a 31-year-old man named Jesus Christ. We have been born from above. Our spirit is seated with Him in heavenly places. We are sons. Listen to me. We are sons of the Most High God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He prayed for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. We have that authority. We just got to live in His bosom, man. We got to live in His bosom. We got to rub up on His bosom and feel all that He is. We have the power to speak to hurricanes. Jesus did. We can rebuke hurricanes, man. There ain't no hurricanes in God's kingdom. Quite the contrary. It's always calm, brothers and sisters. There ain't no sickness in God's kingdom. They don't exist. No strife or anxiety in God's kingdom. It doesn't exist. No offense taken or given in God's kingdom. We have been born again. Think about that. You have been born again. Which means to be born from above. God's calling me and you to be champions. Well, which camp has it right? IHOP or Pastor Day's camp or the Robeshenites? Brownsville, Pensacola, who has it right? The disciple who's walking in love, that's who has it right. The disciple that submits to holy, undefiled instruction, that's who has it going on. I've made my errors. I've made them. I've made my mistakes. But one thing I'm learning, slowly but surely, is to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God that He wants me to work is the instruction that comes out of my spirit. And if I'm quick to listen to that instruction, I'll work it out and fulfill it. I got to hear it, then apply it. Then I've worked out His righteousness. Then I've kept the engrafted word. James, letter into chapter 1, chapter 2. And once we keep that engrafted word, buddy, whew, we are that city that's set on a hill. We have been born again. You have been born again. We can live lives with perfect, perfect result every single day. We just take that deep breath during trial, during tribulation, and live right. But you can't live right unless you hear. When you hear, you got to obey. Hear, obey equals righteousness. That's our life. That's our inheritance. It's His word. I never understood over these last 3, 4, 5 years why pastors are so quiet about so many things. He's just not moved by distractions. I thought he wasn't compassionate enough. But this man, he just don't care or what? No, he don't walk in much care, is what it is. He said, Pastor, I got this and that going on with you that we're up. Homer, either you're going to preach or you're not. You going to let somebody else take your piece in the ministry? Oh, Pastor Bubba, you make me sick. But Jesus wasn't moved even by death when those that were close to Him died. He wasn't even moved by that, Miss Kay.
Pastor Brock, I got nobody here to do worship for me.
Don't do it yourself.
Renee's always late, Pastor Brock.
Don't do it yourself.
The bus driver didn't show up.
Don't drive it yourself.
That's how I drove by myself. I hit a mailbox, Pastor Brock.
Matter of fact, I hit two. I hit the one in your driveway, and I hit one down New Market Road. Get healed. So you can see right. Never a dull moment. My wife forgot to pick that person up at Cephal. Preach the gospel. Oh. In other words, there's a power in me and you to always stay focused. Never an excuse. Because we live in deed and in truth. Our lifestyle consists of obeying His perfect, perfect instruction. Jesus talk is crazy talk, man. Well, I have a sinful nature. Well, if you got a sinful nature, then you got an excuse for sin. Then it won't be sin if you got a sinful nature, because you got an excuse. Therefore, it's not sin, right? If I got a sinful nature and I sin, Jesus, how can you count it against me? He says, I have a sinful nature. No, you don't, you big dummy. No, you don't. Sin shall have no power over you if you're not under the law, but under grace. Whew, that's crazy. Pastor Bronk, Reuben stole $3,000 from me. Pastor Bronk, I want to hit him. I want to hit him. And then Romans pops up within you, sin shall have no dominion over you. You let him keep them $6,000. You shouldn't have trusted him anyway. We're so blessed to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ in God's kingdom. God Almighty, we're so, so blessed to be born again. Man, 8:26. Lucky that Miami Heat ain't been. We'd have been out here by 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. Well, my wife gave me some good advice today. She said, I ain't going to preach. Rex is going to preach. You need to preach because it's good when you preach because there's no dependency on you. I'm glad I listened to her because, hey, my flesh is not my daddy. We've been born again. Hallelujah. Did you learn a little something tonight? Hallelujah. We have been born again. Yes, sir, Rex. Praise the Lord. Honest to God, I had intentions on you preaching. Oh, no. Rex is going to do it. Maybe I'll go home and take a nap. I deserve it. I passed that assessment test. Yes. We're blessed. The point I was making about which camp is right, it really wasn't about any camp. It was about us walking in love. I'm thoroughly convinced that what we're taught here, you can't tell by the numbers. You can't tell. You can't tell by the numbers. You can't tell by that we're headed for revival. You can't tell. Quite the contrary. It'll tell you different. But what we're taught here, I'm sold in believing that if we continue and persevere, that it's going to happen. It's just, I mean, there's 24 people, 25 people in here, and the youth have gone down from 70 or 80 to about 25 or 30. But not everybody now, not everybody's going to want to hear about praying in tongues for 2 or 3 hours a day. Not everybody's going to want to hear that. Or reading the same book over and over again. It's not going to turn people on. Nobody wants to hear that they got a chance to receive an outpouring. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear. They want to receive the outpouring the way that they are. Unfortunately, if Jesus prayed all night 4 or 5 times in the book of Luke, it recorded that he prayed all night. I think me and you got to also. I believe in grace, but Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom. That's what the book of Matthew says. If Jesus, the Son of God, grew in stature and wisdom, guess who has to grow also in stature and in wisdom? We do. I wish it was all by grace. I'd never read the Bible again. I lay hands on the whole town. Get up in Jesus' name. Unfortunately. Oh, anyway, we'll leave it at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. 8:30, man. Wow. I get to go to bed early tonight. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for Jesus, Father. We thank you that today, here on out, Father, we'll be so quick to listen and slow to speak. We want to hear your instruction and receive that perfect result every single day of our life. We don't want to be dogmatic, Father, and quote your word out of your time and out of your love. We want to just say yes, and let the word yes be anointed, Father, to minister to any lost soul. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the offering we're about to receive. Father, we know that it's sown in good ground. We thank you for Pastor Bronk, Father God, for Miss Candy, two awesome examples of what preachers and teachers of the faith should be, Lord. We thank You for them, Father. And we pray that even while they're there on the mountains and You're suffering, Lord, that somehow You would touch them and minister to them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday.